Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com, where you can click the Listen Live tab for 24/7 talk radio. In addition to that, the website is loaded with articles and podcasts updated daily, so be sure to head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check it out. So many great contributors on the website. You've got Dr. Peter McCullough, who's been ahead of the vaccine news this entire time, and he's been on America Out Loud all along, sharing the breaking information months before you see it reported elsewhere. And in a lot of instances, you don't even see some of this stuff reported elsewhere. This guy is on top of it. So be sure to head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and just check out some of the great contributors. You know, we hope you all have had a great week. We've got a lot to talk about. Seems like so many news stories are breaking this week, and it's like, where do you begin? But where I'm going to begin is where mainstream media has left off, and that's this recent shooting in Indiana. It was a mall shooting, and there was a guy who started shooting people, and there was a citizen, a good guy, with a gun, and of course, he stopped the shooting before it got really nasty and a lot of people lost their lives. This guy's a complete hero, and you hear the mainstream media pretty much ignore him, or in some cases, like on The View, Sunny Hostin tried saying that this guy broke the law by killing a mass shooter. She tried saying he was breaking the law for having his gun on him in the mall, which I guess could be debated. But nonetheless, to even try and poke holes in this story and why it's not a good news story, it just shows where the left are at and how partisan they are in their politics. I mean, you've got a perfect example here of a mass shooting. And we always talk about, how do you stop these mass shootings? Well, the only way to stop a mass shooter is to have a gun and to stop him in his tracks and match his firepower. And that's exactly what happened in Indiana. Another story I want to talk about took place in the great state of Missouri. Over by St. Louis, there was an incident where this guy had been going to gas stations and robbing them, pulling a knife on people. Well, this happened to be at a gas station, and this guy pulls up in front of the gas station, gets out, tries to rob the clerk. The clerk doesn't hand over the money right away. Well, one of the citizens happened to keep an eye on what was going on. They said they thought it was suspicious. The guy parked right in front of the gas station. So this citizen, instead of grabbing a cell phone like we see so many people do nowadays, he walked out to his car and grabbed his gun. Well, when he walked back into the gas station, he had a knife to this clerk's throat, and the citizen shot and killed him. Another story of a good guy with a gun saving lives, taking out this criminal who was robbing gas stations, pulling knives on people. And this is just really great to hear and see. And once again, the media does not want to talk about it because all they want to focus on is how guns are bad. They're dangerous. They're violent. So many people are getting killed because of these guns. When Rob and I, we both know that the reason that these mass shootings are happening is because there's so many mentally ill people, and our society is so screwed up nowadays. Rob, how are you doing tonight? And what are your thoughts on these recent stories where we've seen a good guy with a gun overcome the bad guy with a gun?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. We really do appreciate you constantly tuning in to hear what Andrew and I have to say. Secondly, I want to say thank you to Elijah Dickens, who is an American hero, who shot and killed a common thug. Amen. In the Indiana Mall in Greenwood. Shot and killed him. And we say thank you. Thank you, Elijah Dickens. We can call his name out. We can say his name. He was a white man. I think in his early 20s, shot and killed a common thug. Had he not shot and killed him, just think of the carnage that would have taken place. The media will not talk about Elijah Dickens. They will not give him props. They will look the other way. They will not say, thank God he had a gun.
Yeah, in fact, in Sunny Hostin's case, she said that he broke the law.
Sonny Hostin, who's a former federal prosecutor, who has completely gone batshit crazy now that she's on The View. She's forgotten all her legalese. The only thing she's trying to do now is get ratings. So she comes out and she pontificates some of the most stupidest things I've ever heard. That's Sonny Hostin. That law degree that she got from Notre Dame, it's a waste of time because she's not using it. She's now become a media pundit. But enough about that idiot, the dummy that she is. I want to talk about Elijah Dickens. Thank you, sir. He's not the only one. You just mentioned another case whereby a person had a gun to take down a bad guy. I want to say thank you to him. And I want to say thank you to all of the others who have taken down thugs, common criminals, who were out to cause a lot of harm, damage. I think back of a situation in Texas at a church. A man was at home and he heard gunfire and he ran out with his gun and he took out the criminal. And he said, I'm no hero. Don't even look at me as being a hero. I did what needed to be, what needed to happen. That's what Elijah did.
Right. And I hate to cut into your opening, but we always talk about all the beta males on the left side of the aisle. These men that you're discussing now, these are true alpha males. They weren't thinking about grabbing their cell phone and videotaping it like so many others do. They sprung into action and took action when it was most needed.
As Jerome Davison said, who was on our show not too long ago, who's running for Congress in Arizona, he's bringing back masculinity. He's tired of the beta males. And you're so right. Elijah Dickens is an alpha male. He's not a beta male like Barack Obama. He's not a beta male like Eric Adams. He's not a beta male like the folks on CNN, Don Lemon, or Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. He's an alpha. Now, he probably doesn't see himself that way. You know the way he probably sees himself? As just being a regular male, a man, not a trans man, but a real man, a man by birth. Because we know on the left, they're trying to create a man, a Frankenstein, so to speak. Yeah, I'm saying it. Because we've got to call this stuff out. And if we don't, if we continue to lie and live in this fantasy land, it will continue to happen. We've got to call it out. We love everyone. But all these individuals that are trying to create these subsets, can't happen. It's time to call it out. It's time to face the consequences, because if enough of us stand together and stand strong and lock arms and call it out, we will win. Elijah Dickens. People are alive today. And he was at the mall with his girlfriend. And the grandma of the girlfriend said that if it wasn't for him, her granddaughter could possibly be dead right now. Why won't the media talk about that? Why won't they say, here's a situation that we can appreciate? Just the other day, Andrew, here in New York City, Eric Adams, and I've got to come up with a name for him, decided to hold a summit of mayors in different cities, all liberal cities, I'm sure, to discuss gun violence. And the agenda was rather interesting. They were attacking certain gun makers, saying that it's their fault that these guns are out there. And no one is talking about the criminal elements. You can remove the guns, but you can still have bad people because they'll go to knives. But they're there lamenting, saying, we've got to do something about these guns. And of course, what they want to do is they want to be able to make them liable so that people can sue them and put them out of business. The same way people sue different cities to get money when their loved ones have acted out and they want to blame the police. Before long, these cities will go broke, paying out millions and millions of dollars. George Floyd's family, $47 million, I think. Way too much money. Way too much money. George Floyd, a two-bit criminal. We cannot allow George Floyd to go down in history as being a martyr. We cannot allow George Floyd to go down in history as a civil rights icon. I would refuse it. I would reject it. And if I ever saw it, I would tell my kids, no, he's a common thug. He was a common thug. What happened to him is unfortunate. But he's not a civil rights icon. To give his family all that money, and what did Martin Luther King's family get when he was killed? Nothing at all. Go back and give them money. Medgar Evers' family. And look at the people who killed them. If you look at their voters registration, it would say Democrat. Sounds kind of suspicious. Sounds kind of racist to me. But I want to go back to this meeting that Eric Adams was having with the mayors. So they were lamenting. And one of the things that I found interesting that they were lamenting about, Andrew, is that in their homeless shelters, they've been plagued with illegal aliens. And they don't think that is fair. Muriel Bowser of DC, she's complaining. She's saying that what this administration is doing, putting these illegals in their homeless shelters, overcrowding the homeless shelters, it's wrong. Republicans, watch out.
Yeah, and they're blaming Texas instead of Joe Biden, who's the one letting these illegals come into our country.
Exactly, blaming Texas. Republicans, watch out. Because if you win both houses, they're going to put this at your feet and they're going to say that it is your fault. You better watch out. I'm telling you now, don't sit back and not say anything. It is time to call them out. It's time to call Joe Biden out. It's time to keep feeding them a diet that this is Joe Biden's problem. Joe Biden allowed these illegals to come here. And I think, Andrew, you sent me the statistics and you said that almost 9 million illegals would have come here.
Correct. Joe Biden is on pace for just for his first term as president, where we'll have 9 million additional illegal immigrants. We're at a pace right now of 150,000 new illegal immigrants a month. And this is on top of the millions, I think it was estimated around 20 million, that we had before Joe Biden was president. So this is just not sustainable to be able to keep bringing people into our country at this rate. And they're changing the demographics because they think this is what will lead to more Democrat victories. People always act like white people are paranoid that they're going to become a minority in so many years. But it's more of an instance of just these people who are coming into America, who weren't born in America, who don't share American values, taking over a large portion of the population. I think that has more to do with it than their skin color. It's just more of a patriotic thing. These people coming into our country aren't coming here because they love our country. They're coming here because they've been promised free stuff from the Democrats.
And if anyone should be afraid, it should be Black people, because they're going to take your place. You're no longer the largest minority. They're going to take your place while the Democrats keep promising you or making empty promises to you that will never be fulfilled. They're moving on and they're now looking at Hispanics. But what you bet, Andrew, come election, November 2022, if a substantial amount of Hispanics, and not Latinx, as some of them like to say, but if a substantial amount of Hispanics vote Republicans, they will shut that border down quicker than you can say shut down. Because they'll see that their little plan isn't working. And why would you want to say, well, we're going to erase one group of people and bring in another group of people? Well, the only reason why they're doing it is, as you said, Andrew, because they're thinking that we'll forever be Democrats. They'll always vote for Democrats because we're going to keep promising them free stuff, just like we did for Blacks. And look at how long we stayed in power. But now that Black people are killing each other at record numbers in Chicago and a lot of our other big cities, we need to bring in another voting bloc, Hispanics. And we'll promise them the same thing we promised Blacks. And we'll keep using them for another 30 years and we'll just stay in power. It is time to wake the heck up. That is not a recipe for success. It isn't.
Yes, and we hear about this violence in Chicago and it is brutal and awful, but that's just a huge city. So it gets bigger numbers than some of these other cities. I live in Peoria, which is the third largest city in Illinois. And I seen on the local news, there was a white teacher who taught at a predominantly Black high school. And he says he's been at the school for 4 years and he's already had like 6 students die from gun violence, which is just unbelievable that there's so many kids shooting each other. But this is not just happening in Chicago. It's not isolated either. I mean, this is happening in communities across the United States of America. And it's sad. We see the Democrats continue to ignore it. And we know why they're ignoring it, because they fear that bringing it up and actually challenging these issues might cost them some voters. They don't have the guts to call out what's really happening in these communities. That's why you got to listen to shows like Rob and Andrew After Dark.
That's really sad for this teacher to say that. But no one is thinking anything about it. They're busy talking about white supremacists and how they're killing Black people, when in actuality, Black people are killing Black people. We want to take the guns. And then you have this summit that Mayor Adams is putting together, when he should be talking about the high number of Blacks killing other Blacks. But that's not something they want to talk about. They only want to talk about white supremacists. The same way they don't want to talk about guns don't kill people, people kill people. Look at the knife attacks. Do you have anyone trying to remove the knives? Absolutely not. But the guns, oh, we got to remove the guns. We don't want people like Elijah Dickens to defend his fellow citizens, because we want them all to be caged and locked up so that the shooter can kill them one by one, take them out. Here in New York City, we have people broad daylight having gunfights. The other day, a teenager shot, I think, four men. I don't know if he killed them or not. But the fact that he had a gun, has this man been arrested? Absolutely not. But you know what, Andrew? Our DA, Alvin Bragg, he was going after this man, Jose Alba, who was defending himself from a knife attack when he stabbed Austin Simon, another thug. And here's the funny part about it, because DA Bragg decided not to prosecute Jose Alba, because he said, finally said, it was self-defense, which everyone saw that was self-defense. But you know what? He hasn't even gone after the girlfriend who stabbed Jose Alba. Now, her boyfriend, Austin Simon, is dead as a doornail, and rightfully so. But he's not going to go after the girlfriend who stabbed this other man? Quiet as it's kept, Andrew. No one is saying anything about it. But again, I say thank you, Elijah Dickens.
Yeah, well said. Rob, I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial here, but I'm going to call out one of our former guests, Fernando Mateo. We had him on the show a couple of times. He ran against Curtis Sliwa in New York for mayor in the Republican primary. And it turned out that Curtis Sliwa beat Fernando Mateo in the primary. Well, after the primary, we brought Fernando Mateo on the show, and we asked him what his thoughts on the election were between Curtis Sliwa and Eric Adams. And he came on here and he gave us a story that Eric Adams wouldn't be bad. And he actually endorsed Eric Adams. If Fernando Mateo listens to this, I want to tell you, you were wrong, bud. You were dead wrong, because Eric Adams is a disaster. You coming on here and endorsing him was selfish. And you really should not have done that, because I don't think anybody will take you seriously from this point forward as far as your credibility goes, because endorsing Eric Adams, and you look at the disaster that he's been, I mean, that's just inexcusable. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud's iHeartRadio channel. We're available Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, or 6 p.m. on the West Coast. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Well, I gotta say, Andrew, I'm shocked with what you said about Fernando Mateo, but someone had to do it because, as you said, he did come on here and he said that he was going to give Eric Adams a chance. He also said that if he did wrong or if he didn't do something that was right, he was going to, you know, hound him about it. We have since reached out to Fernando to invite him to come back on the show, and we're waiting for his response. But I agree with you. Eric Adams has been a disaster for New York City. Now, I don't know if Fernando was trying to make nice and say that he was going to give him a chance and that he might, he being Eric, might be able to do some things for the city. But at this point, he hasn't done anything. And we're now looking at 7 months. He's been in office for 6 months. And the city has gotten worse.
Right.
I think the crime is like at 40%. Now, we said that de Blasio was bad. But,
yeah.
I mean, and I've said this before. He needs to call de Blasio out and say that de Blasio is the reason why the city is in this shape. But he's not doing it.
Right. Fernando's a case of what we see happen a lot to Republicans, where his personal pride got the best of him. He had a personal beef with Curtis Sylla, and he couldn't let it go and do the right thing for New York City, because I think it's clear Curtis Sylla was the better candidate over Eric Adams.
Yeah, but see, in situations
Fernando's a smart guy. There's no way that he really believed that Eric Adams would do a good job.
That's the reason why I think he was trying to make nice with him. And you guys listen back at the previous shows, I never cared for Eric Adams. I wasn't going to give him a chance, and I'm still not going to give him a chance because I think he's just an empty suit. He likes the way he looks in a suit. He likes the way people talk about him, the way he looks in a suit. But other than that, he has done absolutely nothing for the city. Now, some will say, well, it will take time. Okay, that's fine. But he hasn't even laid the groundwork. Now he's coming out complaining about the homeless shelters and illegal aliens being in them. But this is the same man who refuses to put more cops on the beat, more cops on the ground to be in the subway. Now, that being said, there's another statistic that we have to call out. An interesting article that came out is that a lot of folks don't even want to join law enforcement. Why is that? They're turning their back on it. A lot of the ones who are there are retiring early. So what happens? Well, you start to lower the standards just for that anyone could come in. Look at our military. There was an article that came out the other day that's saying that the military is now going to lower its standards. If you're obese, they'll like, okay, come on in, we'll work you in. And you know what else? You don't even have to have a high school diploma. That's sad. No high school diploma, we'll let you in. Now, just think about this. Our adversaries, the biggest one is China and then Russia. Look at their military. They're getting in strong men. And we've got to bring back on Colonel Julie Hall, who recently suspended her campaign, because she came on once and she was telling us the kind of people that the military want. And I thought it was rather interesting. She was saying like the college jock, there's a place for him. There's a place for the quarterback, the person who's going to lead. Then there's a place for a person who's just going to go there and take the hits. We don't even have that now because people don't want to join. They don't want to sign up for law enforcement because they're being forced to take some COVID shot that's not going to protect them. If anything, it's going to cause more harm. And we keep saying, well, these are frontline defenders, but you're going to kick fire them because they don't want to take the shot. They're tired of people poo-pooing on them, saying they're not doing their jobs. The police is bad. The police are only after Black people. And if that's the case, they should be, because look at all the crime that Black people are committing in our large cities. We can't fool ourselves. Smell the political coffee. You might like it. Try it. It'll wake you up. But you look at our large cities and you look at who's committing the crimes. I don't take pleasure in saying that. And I've said it before. Yes, white people commit crimes. Yes, recently, a lot of the shooters have been white men. But why white men? Why these teenage white men? Because they've been fed a steady diet that they don't matter, that they're toxic, that they're nobodies. We got to stop this. But going back to the crime element, when no one wanted to join the military. Who wants to join the military when you're told, well, you got to learn about toxic masculinity. You got to learn that white people are inherently bad. And this is coming from Mark Milley, Joint Chiefs of Staff. Who wants that? Why aren't Republicans speaking out? How did they let this happen? They need to take a cup of, smell the political coffee and wake the heck up. Because you imagine if China makes a move, who's going to help defend Taiwan? Who's going to defend the United States? These transgender people? While they're in the military laughing and coming in with all their flashy colors, we're lowering the standards as to who could come in. It's becoming like the workforce. We can't find qualified people. While we're lowering our standards, other countries are moving ahead of us. You think this is nice? You think this is funny? It's sad. It's ridiculous. We're the laughingstock. But quiet as it's kept, no one wants to say anything about it. No one wants to call it out because we're afraid. And as I said, during the first half hour of the show, we need to start standing up and locking arms and pushing back. Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, who was running for president back in 2020, and then The View, they didn't like it. Joy Reid, she didn't like it. She was like, I mean, Joy Behar, she didn't. Well, Joy Reid didn't like it either. But Joy Behar was saying, oh, we can't use you. Why? You're going to mess things up. You're not serious about this.
Wasn't he going to run as independent?
He was going to run as an independent. Right. And she thought he might take votes from Biden or right. whomever was going to run at the time. Now he's coming out and saying the policy that the Democrats had, this progressive policy, is destroying everything. So now he's looking to close stores, coffee shops. Why? Well, during 2020, a little before then, they decided, well, we're going to let everyone come in and use our bathroom. We're going to let people come in and just sit out and camp out. Why? Well, because two black men went into the coffee store, barista. They didn't want to buy coffee. They didn't want to use the bathroom. They just decided we're just going to camp out here. I think it was by design. Let's see what they're going to do to us. So one of the liberals who worked there, yes, it was a liberal, decided to tell them, you need to leave if you're not buying anything. Oh, it became a big hoopla. Oh, they're telling us to get out because we're black men, because we're a threat. So what does Schultz do? We're going to change our policy. We're going to let anyone come here and do whatever you want to do. And what happened? Everyone came in doing what they wanted to do, Andrew. Going into the bathroom, messing it up. Have you ever been inside of a public bathroom? It's a disgrace at what you see. Feces all over. It smells like crap because crap is in there. The homeless is in there. I don't get this, all this all-out sympathy for homeless people. I'm sorry. I don't get it, Andrew. Call me mean. I don't get it. I'm paying taxes. Okay, I'm working. And if they can't get their sweetie patootie, their asses out there and get a job, I'm done with them. I'm sorry. Now, some would say, oh, but they have mental illness. And? Lock them up. They're a threat to society. There's no reason why New York City should smell like a shithole, a toilet bowl. And some would say, oh, well, don't say that. Well, you got mad when Trump called about foreign countries, but it's okay to say about New York City. No, I'm tired of it. Lock their asses up. They shouldn't be on the subway pushing people. They shouldn't be out on the streets shooting people, being a threat. I'm tired of this stuff. Why is it like that? Because of Democrat failed policies. And that's what Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, is now saying. We're shutting down stores. No, you watch. They will shut down a lot of stores in black communities. The black people will say, oh, they don't like us. Oh, it's white flight. Oh, it's racism. Yeah, but these were the policies that you knuckleheads wanted. because you behaved as if though you didn't know how to behave. We don't know how to act in public. The only race of people who have a complaint about behaving properly in society. Black people, brown people. Now, again, as I know someone will say, well, white people do the same thing. You're right, they do. But proportionately, you got more black people acting out. You got more black people going into restaurants and just tearing up stuff. There was a story the other day of a girl who didn't get, I think, something for a particular sauce for her fries. So she proceeded to tear up the restaurant. She was black. And they quickly to say, oh, well, there's a Karen, Karens and Karens. Okay, what about the Felicias out there? The Felicias and the Yolandas. They're just as bad. So back to my story, Howard Schultz. We're going to shut down Starbucks. They will shut them down in black communities. Black people will get mad. They will cry racism. But Howard Schultz, a victim of his own policies that he was pushing. Well, we're a racist society, and we got to change this because you're looking at black people the wrong way. No, you're looking at black people the right way. It's just unfortunate that these black people, that what you're seeing is not a stereotype. It's just reality. Because you're behaving as though they can't behave in society. Wake up and smell the doggone political coffee. Drink some. Not only smell it, but drink it. Too many people are asleep at the wheel, Andrew. I mean, I don't know if you have a lot of Starbucks in Peoria, Illinois, but here in New York City, it's like one just about on every corner. And they're now being shut down because of this crazy policy of letting anyone come in and sit down, stink up the place. They don't have to buy anything. They can just sit down, use a bathroom, sleep in the bathrooms. You're not helping homeless people by doing this. And then come holiday time, especially Christmas, you have all these libertards, these woke liberals, white liberals. Oh, let's give them money because it's going to make us feel good. It's going to send us to heaven. It's going to make us be near God. I wouldn't give them a damn thing. Put them in a shelter. Put them in a mental institution and make certain that it's run properly because they are threats to society. Before long, we will have more restaurants closing. Because of these liberal, ridiculous policies, it has to stop. Just like with the guns. Leave the guns alone. Focus on the real problems. Call the problems out. And because these woke white liberals can't do it, maybe we need other people like conservative Hispanics and blacks in power who are going to get something done. Because right now, these woke people aren't doing anything but destroying society. They live in their mansions, behind their gated fences, and they complain. And then the results of their complaint has a downfall effect on us. It has to stop. Again, Elijah Dickens, we thank you. I wish there were more people like him out there. Hold on to your guns. Do not listen to these lefties. Because if they take your guns, you're open target for the criminal activities that's out there. Because as we see in Uvalde, Texas, the police are afraid to do anything. They will sit back and talk on their phones. I don't want to blame all police officers, but when you've been handicapped and you're told, don't do this, else you could lose your livelihood or you could go to jail. Do you think someone will act out? Do you think they'll want to protect us? Absolutely not. So you will need your guns to protect yourself, as Jerome Davidson said. You have black people, oh, take my gun. You better keep your gun and protect your family. Because these people don't care. These people, meaning the left, the Democrats, Joe Biden's cabal, don't care about you. They're just trying to please AOC and the millions of followers that she has. Anyone following her, thinking that she's speaking the gospel, you're crazy. Now, on the other side of the break, Andrew, I definitely want to talk about the arrest, the stage. She wasn't arrested. Let's stop saying it. She was not arrested. She put her hands behind her back to pretend as if though she was, but she was not arrested. And the media needs to stop saying it. They were, she was told to leave the premises. Now, if she did do something wrong and they didn't arrest her, shame on you, Capitol Police, because you should have thrown her ass in jail and put handcuffs on her and roughed her up a little bit. I see why President Trump said when they're putting those perps in the car, who cares about their head being bumped their heads? I don't care. But of course, they bump their heads, they'll file a lawsuit. And you have some woke judge saying, oh, they're entitled to $1 million. Give me a freaking break, Andrew. This is crazy.
It is crazy, and it's gotten ridiculous. I don't know about you, Rob, but I got my new healthy cell in the mail. I always love getting in the mail. It comes in great packaging. They really do have a world-class product. Comes in these gel packs with where you just pop them open and eat them. You just eat them right out of the tube, and they taste good. World-class packaging from Healthy Cell. Through the month of July, so your time's running out in celebration of America's Independence Day celebration, all listeners, new and repeat, will get 50% off Immune Super Boost, an incredible offer. Go to healthycell.com/outloud and use the code America50 for 50% off Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com/outloud and use code America50 for 50% off Immune Super Boost through the month of July. Guys, time is running out, so you want to take advantage of this deal. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code America50 for 50% off any order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell, and use code America50 for 50% off.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
So, Andrew, as I was saying, I don't know if you saw the video. Did you see the video of AOC and Ilhan Omar being asked to leave the premises of the Supreme Court? They were outside protesting about abortion. Did you see that?
I did see it.
Now, did you think they were being arrested? What were your thoughts when you saw it?
Well, I knew they weren't being arrested because the first time I seen it was from an article where it was titled Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez stage being arrested. But yeah, when I seen it, I thought it was pretty hilarious. It just goes to show that with some of these politicians like Ilhan Omar and AOC, they're just immature kids. And this is just performance art to them. They're just up there like, this is a big show. Oh, look at me. I'm getting dragged off and arrested by police officers so they can go on social media and talk about it. It's just not surprising at all, but totally embarrassing for her.
Embarrassing for her, embarrassing for the country, because like you said, they weren't being arrested. Although the media played it up that way, they weren't. And again, I go to Fox, I go to Bret Baier. This guy, oh my gosh, he's giving me agita. I don't know what to say, Andrew. I am so sick and tired of these so-called journalists not being truthful with the news. All he had to do was say, she was not arrested. How can you be arrested and handcuffed when you're able to throw one hand up and give a fist bump? How is that? I mean, this guy, I'm disappointed in him. I am disappointed with conservative as a whole, because they just don't fight back. And that's what I liked about Trump. And should he decide to run again, I will more than likely support him. I mean, I know that a lot of people like Ron DeSantis, and maybe Ron DeSantis has a fire in the belly, but I also go back to when Ron DeSantis was running against that black guy, what was his name? The guy in Florida who came out and said he's bisexual.
And he Andrew Gillum.
Andrew Gillum, yeah. Came out and said that he, oh, Andrew, gosh, he shares your name. How do you feel about that? How do you feel when someone shares your name who's a bad player, a bad character? Do you think like, he has my name?
Yeah, he definitely put shame to all of us good Andrews out there.
Right, all the good sure. Andrews, absolutely. But you guys go look up Andrew Gillum. But I remember during the race, and DeSantis came off as being really, really, he didn't come off as being a fighter. And I think it was probably because this was during the throes of George Floyd. And if any white person asserted themselves against a black person, you would be called out as being a white supremacist. And we now know that no matter what you do, they're going to still call you that. But he was rather reserved, I thought, when he was running against Andrew Gillum, who wasn't a strong candidate. The only thing he had going for him was that Barack Obama was supporting him as well as Oprah Winfrey. And look at how far that went.
Yeah, and Soros money.
And Soros money. And I find this interesting also, how Barack Obama has supported candidates in major races and they have lost decisively. But yet and still, the media would not call it out. The media would not say Barack Obama was not successful in supporting these candidates. But the moment a Trump candidate loses, oh my God, Trump is losing his grip and Trump is this. If you guys can't see that the media is biased and that this whole Jan 6 thing is a complete farce, I don't know what to say. I mean, look at the Colbert 9. Stephen Colbert, the talk show host, who's actually a commentator, he's another extension of the Democrat Party. And that's all he talks about are Republicans. And he talks down about them. And that's just the premises of his show. He's not a comedian anymore because no one wants to listen to him. When he had his show on the Comedy Channel, people looked at him. But then when he moved over, no one was like, okay, whatever. Then he started attacking Trump and then he found a following. So people just go there to his show just to get to be fed a steady diet of hypocrisy. But anyway, the Colbert 9, some folks of his production team, you can Google it because I can't go, you know, all tell you the whole story. But anyway, they went to the Capitol illegally. They broke into the Capitol. They weren't supposed to be there. And they were told to leave. And they said, we can't leave until we finish our show. No, I don't know who invited them there. I think it was Adam Schiff. No one's going to call Adam out, because Adam is too busy trying to tell more lies with Jan 6, the same way he did with Russia collusion. But anyway, it appears that the attorney general is not going to bring charges against them. They're going to let them go. Yeah, they're going to let them walk free because they're saying that no harm was done. Now, mind you, these guys broke inside of the Capitol. Once they were found out, and here's the other kicker, that Jamal, I think it's Bowman or Brown, who's a Democrat, he's a radical Democrat, a big mouth Democrat, and he's full of lies. Someone on his staff, his aide, caught wind of these guys being there, and they were making a lot of noise. So he alerted the Capitol Police. Now think about this, a Democrat, you know, their whole thing is backfiring on them. They say that what happened on Jan 6 was horrible. They were rioting, they were doing this. Now they see the Democrats doing it. They sound the alarms. But interestingly enough, the U.S. attorney has decided not to prosecute. Now, why is that? You know why? Because they're saying that they doubt they'll be able to convict them, present it before a court and convict them. Now, let me just explain that to you. What happens is that once an attorney, a U.S. attorney, a district attorney wants to bring forth charges, they'll take it to the grand jury. They'll say, this is our case. Do you think we should prosecute? Do you think we have a case? And the grand jury will decide. Well, he's partly right, because when you're in D.C., if he were to present a case to these liberals, they'd probably say, no, there's no case there. The same way they did with Michael Sussman. Michael Sussman was indicted, but when it went to court, the jury said, oh, nothing to see here. Let him walk. So the same thing would have happened in this case. Had they prosecuted them and indicted them, a jury probably would have found them not guilty or said there's nothing here, because Stephen Colbert would have gone on his show every night and mocked the jury, made fun of them, threatened them, and said Black Lives Matter might come at your door. You better not find them guilty. So that leads me to my next point. Hunter Biden. There's a lot of hoopla about, oh, their colors in the walls in, and that prosecutor in Delaware, he's looking at this case. He's now looking at money that was moved around. Oh, and he's moving toward an indictment. And what we think is going on right now is that Merrick Garland, he doesn't want to indict. But they have all the cases. They have all the information there. Okay, let me just play this out for you. The president's son. They look the other way on the laptop. They're looking the other way with the phone calls. I know that some of you are saying, oh, well, the media is waking up to Joe now. They're now saying that there's something wrong. And they're now saying this and they're now saying that. Do not buy into it. They could care less. They're just making you think that they're concerned. Do not buy into it. This story will play out in one of two ways with Hunter Biden. He will either be indicted. Joe Biden will pardon him. Or he will be indicted. And if they indict him, they will indict Trump. I'm telling you, this is how this will be played out. Because don't think that they're going to, they being the left, are going to say, hey, we're going to hand over Hunter Biden on a silver platter and let Trump go free. No, Trump has done absolutely nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing. But when you have an attorney general like Merrick Garland, who was compromised, highly compromised, this is a man that they wanted on the Supreme Court. Why is it that news journalists aren't pointing this out? We know that the left won't do it. But you would think that the right would do it. Bret Baier, we would think that you would put on your journalistic hat and say, this is the man they wanted on the Supreme Court. If he's compromised in his decisions as far as whether or not he should indict President Trump, when there's no there there, and everyone sees that this whole Jan 6 is nothing but a theatrical production.
Right. Yeah, and you look at what happened to Colbert's crew, and then Hunter Biden, and then you read this recent story of a 69-year-old grandma who was a cancer patient. She's going to prison for 60 days for walking into the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and taking video there, trespassing. A misdemeanor was the charge. This is absolutely ridiculous, this January 6th committee. It's a farce. And like we've mentioned before, I hope all these people are pardoned eventually.
It is a farce, Andrew. And I'm glad you mentioned her. She's going to jail for 60 days. And the Colbert 9, they get off. No prison time, no jail time, no record. They can walk free. And you tell me that this isn't biased? Why isn't the left calling this out? They're downplaying it. And if they don't call it out, no one will say anything about it. It will become a legend. It will become history. And people will forget all about it. That is a reason why when we open up our show, Andrew tells you to share, share, share. You got to share this. You guys have got to help us get our voices out there to get these stories out there, because no one else will do it. No one else will talk about it. And this could happen to you. They want to talk about white privilege. Hunter Biden is a walking, talking, living and breathing example of white privilege, of a white man. knocks up strippers, does drugs, cocaine, walks around butt naked, playing with himself, counting his cocaine with a hooker, butt naked in a jockstrap, and then he goes to the White House, using his dad to gain access to make millions of dollars. His dad said that he knew nothing about Hunter Biden's business dealings. Maybe he's forgotten because we know that he's challenged. And you want to tell me that this is okay? This is your country. They were saying that Trump was doing this. They are doing it, and you see it laid out in front of you. There is no Adam Schiff saying, "Oh, we got it, we got him. We're only gonna play selective tapings just today." You saw this entire production. Well, it's going on right now while we're on. Another primetime special, Jan 6, with Liz Cheney, who will be beaten decisively in Wyoming, thank goodness, who has a personal vendetta against Trump. And people are saying, "Oh, what? She's just so powerful that she's standing against the party." No, she isn't. She's being self-serving. She has an axe to grind. And I hope she goes down in flames. I hope everything that she touches fails. Yes, I said it. Because we got to put an end to this. We have got to put a stop to this nonsense. It makes absolutely no sense what the country is going through. We are a laughingstock. We are an embarrassment. Men can have babies. A man can have a baby. And then about to give that Leah Thomas the Woman of the Year Award. Where's the woman? There is a war on women. You're giving it to a man. He still has his ding ding. He's still attracted to women, but yet he's saying he's a woman. No one will question it. No one will call it out because they're all afraid. It's time to call it out. I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to speak the truth, Andrew, because that's the only way we can put an end to this nonsense. They're now saying that Sesame Street, a character in Sesame Street, is a racist, white supremacist. It's all backfiring on the left. How the heck can a Muppet, be racist? Well, they were saying that babies could be racist. Go figure. What else? I want to talk about, Andrew, the Biden's communication team. They're like leaving the White House like 1, 2, 3. It's not reported on. No one says anything about it. Not even Fox News. They'll say it in passing. But when people were leaving Trump's White House, oh my God, can you look at that? Oh, people are leaving nonstop. They don't like him. They don't trust him. They think he's this. Well, no, they were leaving because he was saying, "I'm going to summarily dismiss you because I'm the president, not you. You think you're going to put your agenda across? I don't think so. It's my agenda, not your agenda. You can have a thought, but at the end of the day, I make the decisions."
Right.
But all those knuckleheads in the White House thought, "Oh, well, we're going to president, and we're going to protect the country from him." What a joke, Andrew.
Yeah, I got to say, though, Jean Pierre, the new press secretary, has lasted a lot longer than I thought she would last. I can't see her lasting too much longer. So I think they're going to have another person leaving the White House very shortly.
Yeah, the guy who's was the secretary for, I think, the Department of State. I was looking for his name. I had written it down. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But I'm hearing that he will eventually replace her because she is an utter failure. The only thing she has going for her is that she's Black, she's a woman, and she's a lesbian. That's it. Nothing else. Now, she was a commentator on CNN and MSNBC saying that Trump was a racist and that he hates her Black skin. But if I were her, I would look in the mirror and I would hate my Black skin, especially if I'm such a failure. I mean, this woman went to all the top colleges. So it just goes to show you, folks, I don't care if you go to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, or where have you, Emory, Notre Dame, it does not spell success. Look at her, the prime example. She reads from a book, a notebook, and if they change it up on it, she'll be completely confused. And I'm glad that, well, that's one thing Fox has going for them, because the White House reporter, he gives her no leeway. He goes after her, and rightfully so. She's horrible at that job. I think my 8-year-old son could probably do a better job than that, but she's horrible, horrible. Maybe they shouldn't have picked a Black lesbian. Maybe they should have picked someone who was qualified for the job as opposed to looking for a Black lesbian, because this Black lesbian is horrific. And I'm only saying that because she said it. She said it the first day. She said, "Just in case you guys didn't notice, I'm Black and I'm a lesbian. I'm the first to hold this position." disgraceful, an embarrassment, if you ask me.
Did that really happen?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you didn't see it? Her first day at the podium. She said, just in case you didn't realize it, I'm Black and I'm a lesbian. And my parents are immigrants. And I'm the first person to hold this position. I'm like, and you're also a disaster. You want to mention that now? But she'll probably leave and go off and being another a talking head. But again, before we close, Andrew, I want to say thank you to the young man, Elijah Dickens, for saving lives in Indiana in the Greenwood Mall. I want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you to all of the other gun holders who have stood up to protect their fellow citizens. We thank you. We salute you. And for the rest of you, I would say, please try the political coffee, because a lot of you are sleeping and you need to wake up.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Thank you all for joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud. We appreciate you guys tuning in each and every night. Or if you're a new listener, we appreciate that as well. Please check us out again. America Out Loud is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you stream. Please like and subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, or go to AmericaOutLoud.com. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or fall for nothing.